After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
As already has been mentioned, this week's been kind of a trying week for many of us, concerning week. And in light of the tragedies that have gone on, I just want to begin my sermon by offering a special prayer on behalf of what's happening in our country. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we've assembled here at this time because we want to be your people. And we live in this land of the United States of America. It's our home, and because it's our home, we are concerned for it, and we love it. And Lord, it just seems this past week that there's been a lot of things happening in our country that concerns us, particularly seeing people being shot and seeing the police officers being shot as well a few days ago in Dallas. So Lord, we just want to come before you right now on behalf of our country. We want to pray for the families of the police officers that were killed and those that were wounded. We grieve with them, Lord, and we ask that you would be with them and surround them with your comfort. And we pray for all of our law enforcement officers and first responders who often are in harm's way in order to enforce the law and bring us safety. And we pray for them that they can be courageous and that we can be supportive of them. We also pray for the victims' families that were, where there was someone who was killed, whether it's up in St. Paul or Louisiana or other places around the country, and where it seems on the outside, we don't all know all the facts, but it's hard to know exactly what went on, and we're concerned about that. So we pray for those families that are grieving as well. We pray for those that are hurting and those that feel maybe like they were victimized. And Lord, we see in all of these situations that our country has become very divided, divided over a lot of different lines, divided racially, divided economically, divided politically. And there's been a lot of tense moments, a lot of suspicion about people that are different than us or different than me. And Lord, I pray that in some way that you can be at work to bring peace in the midst of this unrest in our country, that you would bring unity in the midst of division, that you would bring love in the midst of hate, that you would bring courage and strength in the midst of fear. And I pray for your people, Lord. I pray for us here at Southside and the church nationwide that we can be a witness to our surrounding country, a witness of unity, a witness of love, a witness of grace and forgiveness, and a witness of reconciliation. And Lord, we know we can be this witness because your Spirit lives inside us and because of your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us, who removed all barriers, and whose grace makes us one. So help us to be that witness and give us your comfort as only you can in a very special way. These are our petitions, and we pray them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Fear is nurtured by ignorance. So when you don't know much about something, or if you don't know much about someone or some community, often we can be fearful of it because we don't know much about it. So for example, if you were to go home this afternoon and find in your front yard a snake, most of us would be fearful, right? Because we don't know much about snakes, and what we do know about snakes scares us. But if you're a herpetologist, someone who actually studies snakes, if you were to go home and to find a snake in your front yard, you might actually be excited and enthralled by this happening. Why? Because you've studied and you've gained knowledge about snakes, and because of that, they don't scare you as much. And we see this very dynamic happening all the time in our culture, that many of us here today, we would be very, very fearful if we had to perform surgery on a human body, or if we had to climb tall trees and work on electrical wires, or if we were to skydive out of a plane. But there are people who do those things every single day and are not scared, at least hardly at all, about doing them. Why? Because they've gained knowledge and wisdom about how to do those things safely. And normally when you gain knowledge about something or someone, our fear goes down. This is why Google is one of the most popular sites, because whenever there's something that's concerning us or worrying us, we immediately go to Google and we Google it, because we know if we gain some information, hopefully that'll cause our fear to go down. I think that's one of the reasons why our country is divided, because we see people who are different than us and we fear them because we don't know them. But once we get to know someone of a different race or of a different background or a different perspective, that fear goes down. That's what knowledge does. Knowledge helps us to not be fearful most of the time. But there are some things that we are afraid of where you can't gain knowledge about them. And a good example of this is the future. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. And there's no way that I know of to gain access of knowledge about what is going to happen in the future. We just don't know. Now, I can make predictions. I can look at the past and based on the past make a projection. I can give you my opinion. I can make an educated guess. But I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Nobody does. And because we don't know and we can't gain knowledge about what's going to happen in the future, we become afraid. We become fearful and anxious about the future. And so what we do is we become or develop a posture of trying to play it safe. Since I don't know what will happen in the future, I might as well prevent whatever I can of what might happen in the future. And so as parents, we buckle our children into seat belts in their car seats because we don't know what's going to happen when we get on the road. And so we want to play it safe. And big organizations, they build large endowments because we don't know what's going to happen in the future with the market. And so we want to play it safe, prevent what could happen. And we take out insurance policies on our home and on our car and our life because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And so we want to play it safe. We want to prevent what could happen. And most of the time, that's a pretty good perspective. It's good for us to try to prevent potential tragedies from happening because we don't know if they are going to happen. But the problem with that perspective is that if that dominates us, if it consumes us to try to bring safety and prevent any particularly bad thing from happening and eliminating any risk and trying to eliminate any liability that possibly could happen, we'll end up missing out on the adventure of life. If you're our guest this morning, providentially, we are studying this summer the subject of fear. We're looking at passages in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where God commands his people, do not fear. And I mentioned that at the very beginning of this series that God gives that command typically in one of two occasions. That on the one hand, God gives that command when God's people are experiencing some kind of difficulty, that they're just going through a hard time. They're in a valley. And so we've already looked at in this series a couple of passages where Israel was in exile and that they had been separated from their homeland. They were in a foreign land among foreign people, and God speaks into that hard valley that they're in and he says, do not fear. But then I also mentioned that there's a second occasion where God gives that command, and that second occasion is when God's people are in a critical moment, when they're at a place of change, when there is some kind of transition going on and something big is about to happen for God's people. In that critical moment, God speaks into that and he says, do not fear. And this morning, the text that we're going to look at is one of those kinds of situations in Joshua chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Joshua chapter 1. This is an incredible critical moment for the people of Israel. It's a huge transition point for them. Because up until this point, the people of Israel have lived in the wilderness. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They've gathered manna every day. They've collected quail. They've lived in tents. They've been in the dusty wilderness with this promise in their head that someday we're going to be in the land of Canaan. And we're going to cross over the Jordan River and be in the promised land. And now that's where they are. They're on the banks of the Jordan. They're getting ready to cross over to the promised land. And so there's this huge transition from living in the wilderness to now being settled in the land of Canaan. But there's also another transition going on, and that is in leadership. That up until this point, Moses has been their leader. He's the one that opposed Pharaoh in Egypt, and through God's power brought 10 plagues. He's the one who raised the staff and the Red Sea parted and they walked through on dry land. He was the one who brought down the 10 commandments from Mount Sinai to the people. He was the one who interceded for the people on their behalf when God wanted to destroy them. He was the one who struck the rock and brought water so they could drink. I mean, he's the one who's been there all along the way. And now Moses is dead. And it's time for another leader, Joshua, to rise to the occasion and to lead the people into this new land of Canaan. It's a new era. The old era is done. The time of Moses is complete. It's a new time. It's a new chance. It's a new moment in history for Israel. It's a critical moment. And whenever you have critical moments like that, there is always fear and anxiety and concern and worry, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know if when Israel gets into Canaan, if they're going to like it. What if they get into Canaan and they just don't like that land and the land doesn't sustain them? What if they get into Canaan and they figure out that the Canaanites and the people that they have to defeat are actually much stronger than they were? That's what the spies found back in the book of Numbers. When they sent the 12 spies out to check out the land, they came back and said, man, these guys, they're huge. We're grasshoppers compared to them. I mean, what if things haven't changed and we get over there and find we can't defeat these people? And besides, what do we know of this guy, Joshua? Yeah, he's been following Moses along and kind of been his apprentice, but now Moses is dead, and is Joshua really going to be a good leader? I mean, he's on his own now. Is he going to lead us in the wrong way? Is he going to divide the people? What's going to happen? We don't know what's going to happen in the future. And because of that, it brings fear, worry, and anxiety. And whenever you feel that, it is always tempting to want to just stay where you are. And maybe we just should wander in the wilderness a little bit longer. I mean, after all, we know how to live over there. We've done that for years, generations actually. Maybe Joshua should cut his teeth by leading us in the wilderness first. That way we can get a good handle on whether he's going to be a good leader, and then we can go to Canaan. And into this critical moment where there's fear, worry, and anxiety about the future, God speaks. And in Joshua chapter 1, his speech consists of two things. The first thing is that he gives affirmation. And what I mean by affirmation, he just simply reminds Joshua of who he is and what he has promised. Let me read it again. God says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. And I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And I will never leave you nor forsake you." God just affirms Joshua, and he says, "Joshua, you're going to get that land. I made this promise back to Abraham, the patriarch, that I would make him into a great nation, and he would have a land. You're going to get that land, Joshua. Just don't worry anymore about that. You're going to get the land. And when you get in that land, you're going to have victory. Don't worry about those other peoples. And whether they're big and strong, you're going to have victory. I'm going to give you victory in that land. Just don't worry about that. And Joshua, I'm going to be with you. I was with Moses face to face. We had a special relationship, and just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Just don't worry about that. That's a promise you can count on." What's God doing? Well, in the midst of uncertainty and anxiety, what we need is we need to be reminded of who God is and what God has promised. And so in the midst of this critical moment where there's a lot of anxiety about the future, God says, "Okay, Joshua, let me just give you three strong boulders that you can just count on that aren't going to be moved. You're going to get that land. You're going to have victory in the land. I'm going to be with you. Don't worry about those things." And that's what we need today. In the midst of the uncertainty and unrest of our country and what's going to happen in the future, we just need to be reminded of who God is and what he has promised us. And that God is with us. And he is faithful. But that's not all that God does in this text. He gives affirmation, but then he gives exhortation. And this is what I really want us to hear this morning. Exhortation just simply means encouragement. And what he encourages Joshua with is this simple phrase: be strong and courageous. He says it three times. Let me read it to us again. He says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." And then in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Three times he says that phrase. And what's fascinating about the phrase is that it's used a handful of times in the Old Testament. And whenever it's used in the Old Testament, it's used in one of two situations. On the one hand, it'll be used at a time of transition for God's people. So, for example, in Deuteronomy 31, when Moses knew that he was about to die and he was giving some of his final words, he tells Joshua and the people, "Be strong and courageous. David, King David, when he was on his deathbed and he knew that Solomon was going to be the king who was going to rule on his throne, he was giving his last words to Solomon. You know what he told Solomon? Be strong and courageous. In times of transition, this phrase shows up. Be strong and courageous. But the other occasion where this phrase shows up is when God's people are getting ready to face something risky. And so when Joshua and the people were opposed by five Amorite kings, Joshua tells the troops, be strong and courageous. Later on in Israel's history, when they were fighting against the Ammonites, Joab, who was a military general at the time, he calls the troops together. He says, guys, be strong and courageous. When Sennacherib, who was the Assyrian king, came down and surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and it looked like Jerusalem was going to fall, Hezekiah was faithful to God, and he calls out to the military commanders and to the people, and he says, guys, be strong and courageous. Whenever God's people were in a risky situation, that phrase shows up. And so here we are in Joshua 1, and both of those situations are happening. There is tremendous transition as Moses is dead and now Joshua is assuming the role of leader. As they've been in the wilderness for many, many years, now they're going to enter into a new land. And it's risky because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And what does God say in this critical moment of transition and risk? Be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Courage is a funny thing. Because courage is not the antithesis of fear. Courage is not when someone has no fear at all and is not concerned about anything and just doesn't care about anything and just does whatever they feel they want to do. That's recklessness. That's not courage. Courage is when someone knows the risks. And they feel the fear. And they understand how difficult the situation is. And yet in the midst of all of that, still does the right thing. That's courage. And what God was trying to tell Joshua and the people is, I know you're fearful. I know you're concerned about the future and how it's all going to turn out. And there is that temptation to just want to stay back in the wilderness, but have courage. Act, move, follow me into this new land. The problem with the future is that future brings change. And we don't know if that change is going to be a good change or if it's going to be a bad change. So change is going to happen this week. We just don't know what kind of change it's going to be. We don't know if you're going to get laid off from your job this week or if you're going to get recognized at your job this week. We don't know if you're going to draw closer in your marriage this week or if you're going to draw farther away in your marriage. We don't know if there's going to be another shooting in our country this week or if there's going to be peace. We just don't know what kind of change is going to happen. And because we don't know, it is so tempting to just stay in our tent in the wilderness and try to play it safe. And God comes to us and he says, be strong and courageous. Follow me. Act. Move. Have courage. I think there's a number of situations where this message we need to hear. I think about the growth of our church. So as some of you know, God is continuing to send us people here at Southside, and we've grown, and at some point, some Sundays, it's kind of hard for us to fill our building. There's so many people here. Elders have noticed that. Ministers have noticed that. So we started praying about that, about what should we do? Because we don't want to harness the growth of the kingdom of God in some way. And so what should we do about that? And we've been talking about different options. And I'll just tell you that there's a part of me, and there's a part of the elders that feel like we don't want to do anything. We like it the way it is. Feels good here. We don't want to change anything. Because change brings risk. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future. We don't know if it's going to be good change or bad change. We don't know if people are going to like it or they're going to get upset. And it's just so easier to just, let's just stay where we are. And God says to us, be strong and courageous. There are times in our personal life where we refrain from doing what we know God wants us to do because we're fearful. And so we don't have that conversation with our neighbor or coworker about God or faith or the church, because what if that conversation doesn't go well? What if it becomes awkward? Or we don't help someone in need because what if that person is going to harm me in some way? Or we don't open up our house and let people come to our home and share hospitality because what if they don't like our house? Or we don't serve in ministry at the church because what if I don't like that ministry? What if I get to know people and they get on my nerves? It's so easy to refrain from doing what God wants us to do because we're fearful about what it might bring about in our life, about what the future may hold. And it's easy just to stay in that tent in the wilderness. And God says, be strong and courageous. This past week, I was on study leave, and our family was traveling back. We were on 287 coming home, and we got a flat tire. Tell you what. Pull over to the side of the road. I never changed a flat on our minivan before, and I didn't know exactly how to do it. So I'm doing the best I can, and those nuts, those lug nuts or whatever, they are not coming off. And I am pulling, and I am straining, and then sweat's pouring off my face because it's 100 degrees outside, and those nuts are not coming off, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And somebody stops to help me. His name is Hugo. And miraculously, like, he has like all the tools you could ever imagine in his truck. He pulls out this rust spray and sprays it, and he gets it off and changes our tire in no time. I said, Hugo, thank you. He said, you know, I've been in this situation and nobody stopped to help me. And I know there's a lot of people doing crazy stuff in this nation, but we still got to help one another. I appreciate it, Hugo. When I said my prayer that night, I thanked the Lord for Hugo, that he had courage to love his neighbor in the midst of fear. And that's what Joshua 1 is all about. It's about trusting God enough. And just because I tell you be strong and courageous doesn't mean that fear is going to go away. I understand that. It's a lot easier said than done. In order for our fear to go away, we have to attach ourselves to something greater than us, something that's greater than our fear. And I love how God ends his message to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Did you catch the last line? Did you catch it as the children said it? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He says, Joshua, attach yourself to me because I'm greater than any of the fears that you might have, any of the risks that you might engage in when you get into the land of Canaan. I'm greater than all of that. And so walk with me into the future. That's what we need to hear today. We have courage when we know that we're walking with God into the future. Several years ago, when we lived in Memphis, we took our college group on a service project to work with this ministry called Families in Touch, FIT, Families in Touch Ministry. And it was a ministry to help homeless pregnant women. And they would take them off the streets. They put them in a duplex. They'd surround them with resources and community and really just try to help them get back on their feet. It was a wonderful ministry. But they had rules. One of the rules was you couldn't use drugs. If you used drugs, you were kicked out of the ministry. And our job on our service project was that we were to clean up a duplex that had been vacated by a lady who had been kicked out of the program for using again. And before she left, she had strewn trash all over the duplex in anger and in vengeance. And so our job was to clean all that up. And so we're cleaning all the pieces of trash up and the toys and everything that are everywhere. And the manager was there. And I asked the manager, I said, why do you think she did this? I mean, she had a good thing going. I mean, here she was in a good ministry, in a good environment. She had a roof over her head. She had community around her. She had resources to help her get her life back together. Why would she throw it away to go back to using drugs? And the manager told me something that's always stuck with me. She said, you know, I think what happened was she started to see what she could be, and that scared her more than where she had been. And I think sometimes that's our problem. We start to see where we can go, what we can be, and what God can do in us in the future, and that scares us. It scares us more than just staying in our tent in the wilderness. And so we say, you know what, God, I'll just stay over here because I know this life. And God says, be strong and courageous. Walk with me into the future. I'll be with you everywhere you go. And so this morning, there may be decisions or changes in your life that you've been putting off because of fear. And it's time to walk with God into the future. Some of you maybe are ready to be baptized into Christ. You've been putting it off because of fear. It's time to take that step this morning and walk with God into the future. Maybe there are some changes in your personal life, at work, or in your family, or as a parent, or as a husband or a wife that you need to do differently, but you've been putting those things off because of fear, because you're afraid of what's going to happen in the future. It's time to walk with God into the future, to be strong and courageous. We're going to sing a song of invitation. Our elders, ministers are going to surround the auditorium at this time. If you need encouragement, prayer, strength for this week, please come to them and we'll pray with you and for you. Please come now as together we stand and sing.